We're doing Begavot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the third chapter of the ninth Mishnah. We're in the middle of the Mishnah. We had learned that Rabbi Hanina Mendoza, you remember, he lives on a kav that's the volume of 24 eggs. That's like a Coke bottle and a half of carobs. That's what he lives on every week. Rabbi Hanina Mendoza spoke about a person should be first God-fearing, careful not to transgress, and then learn wisdom. And then his wisdom will work out. But if he learns wisdom and from there tries to evolve to a respect and an awe and a care not to transgress, then it doesn't. It's much harder for his wisdom to last. He says you have to develop a respect, an awe, a desire to live a correct life, and from there evolve into the knowledge of Torah. Whereas if you come into the knowledge, but in the beginning you don't care, I don't know if I'm going to keep these laws, I'm just going to learn about them. So then after you learn about them, you say, gee, I really should do this. And then you evolve into the observance of mitzvot. It's much harder to stand track.
It sounds like there's a special Hanina ben Doza Machina before you go into yeshiva.
Right. Huaya Omer. Sometimes you don't have a choice. I told stories here last week about guys who came here with no intention to keep mitzvot. And then through the learning, they realized, hey, I should. And in fact, it was much harder for them. You don't always have a choice. But it is much better if you begin with this desire to do what's right. I want to keep the mitzvot. It ends up lasting more easily. He used to say, Rabbi Hanina Vendosa used to say, Kol shema'asav mehubin mechokhmato, chokhmato mitkayemet. Whoever's actions exceed their wisdom lasts. And whoever's wisdom exceeds their actions, their wisdom does not last. Explains Rabbeinu Yonah. When a person's actions exceed their wisdom, so he's yearning to know more. So the fact that he's active drives him to know more. But if one's wisdom is in excess of their actions, their wisdom doesn't last. He has less of a need. His actions do not exceed his wisdom. And so whatever he encounters, I know the answer to that. I'm okay. So if I'm not involved in too many things, I'm just, you know, I keep my Shabbos, I keep my kashrut, I go to yeshiva. I know the laws of Shabbos, I know the laws of kashrut, fine. I don't have too many questions. But if I'm involved in more good deeds, I will have more questions. Who should the money go to first? The orphan or the widow? What about the handicapped child? Does he go first? Question that came up this week. A person had his tefillin stolen, so he couldn't afford a new pair of tefillin. So they asked his friends, can we all chip together and buy him a new pair of tefillin? So the friends chipped together, they put together the money to buy him a new pair of tefillin. Just before they go to buy the tefillin, his old tefillin show up. Now, he gives everyone back their money, right? The guy who collected it gives it all back, and all the people want to know, what are we supposed to do with the money? Have we obligated the money to charity? Do we have to give it to a different charity? Or do we take the money and put it back in our wallets? What are we supposed to do? Okay, so if you're involved in more things, then you suddenly have more questions and you have a greater need to know. The more you're involved in chesed and mitzvot, the more you need to know. You want to go out and buy the four species, you need to know the laws of the four species. If you've merited to come to the land of Israel, so this year you will have to know, what do you do about Shemitah? How do you buy an etrog this year? The etrogim have to be Shemitah, no? So what etrog are you allowed to buy this year? What about a lulav? You'll buy from El Arish? You'll buy the Egyptian lulavim? How are you supposed to buy a lulav this year? Okay, if we evolve in our actions, so then we need more wisdom. We need more answers. But if a person's wisdom exceeds their actions, so they're not involved, so they don't have more questions, so then his desire for wisdom is less than his wisdom. If you're involved in shiduchim, so a child comes to you, a young man says, I want you to be meshadech me. Fine. Then in passing, he says, you know, in vitro fertilization is so amazing. I wouldn't be around if not for in vitro fertilization. So then you wonder for a second, wait a second. is he really a Kohen, if his father was a Kohen, or can I set him up with a girl that is a Choseret B'tshuva, and she's not fit for a Kohen? If he was born from in vitro fertilization, does that keep him a Kohen status or not? Ah, good question. But if you're not involved in more mitzvot, you don't have that question. When you get involved in mitzvot, when ma'asav merubin mechochmato, so then you need more wisdom, so you're always driven to learn more. If life is very simple, I get up in the morning, I eat my kosher toast, I go and do my job, I learn, I do my time, I come back home, kamarnu, okay, what do I need to know? But if I'm involved, I'm a part of a community, so I'm going to get involved in Jewish education, how do we decide how much tuition every parent pays? What do you do with the kid? Question that came up, a principal asked me, said, all the parents are pushing me to have stiffer guidelines for tzniut. So we put out guidelines for tzniut. Then there are families that will not respect the guidelines. And the girls come with short skirts and sleeveless, and we're trying to develop something in the school. Am I supposed to kick those girls out? Because if I kick them out, they will not go to another Orthodox school. They will become non-observant, and that's it. I've sealed their fate, most likely for life, to be non-observant. Because they're going to end up going to schools that are non-observant. What am I supposed to do? Good question, right? The parent body says, we need a good educational system here. We need our girls to have a certain level of tzniut. He says, what am I supposed to do when I have 3, 5, 7 families that are not willing to do it? Do I kick out the girls eventually? If you're involved in more actions, then you're always driven to know more. Because you realize, I need more Torah. There are so many questions that come up. I need to know more. But if you know enough, that's it. I covered all the halachos. No more questions. Life is good. I know my Torah. So then you're never driven to learn more. Rabbeinu Yonah says this is the first interpretation that the early commentaries bring. Yes, sir.
Secular weddings, because it's like a regular party. There's no specialty about it. It could be like a birthday party, just bigger. That's why I don't like it. I like
secular
it.
Secular weddings I've been to are pretty difficult to deal with.
But yes, Nishol.
It's not special. It's like I prefer whatever. But you know, sometimes you have a friend or whatever, and you know, you sit in a table in the corner and you eat your kosher food, and you know, that's it.
He says, we can ask, how do you actually do more mitzvot than you know? If you don't know, so then what are you doing getting involved in things you don't know? How are you ever going to get there? Rabbeinu Yonah wants to offer another pshat. He says, the Mishnah is giving us good advice. And the Mishnah is helping us, if we don't know, how we can move forward. A person has to begin with an acceptance. He says, I'm prepared to do this, even though I don't know everything yet. But if I learn that this is the halach, I'm going to do it. And if this is what I learned, this is what the halacha says, this is what the rabbis instituted, we have a mitzvah of Chanukah, we have a mitzvah of Eruv, so I'm going to do it.
It's so scary to accept things that you can't see.
That's true. It's true. But you know, when you sign a Hippocratic Oath as a doctor, and part of your acceptance is that you will not turn a blind eye when you see someone in need of your medical knowledge, you're also signing into circumstances you don't know, such as you're on your way to your son's wedding and you see a car accident. And now do you go to the wedding or do you show up 2 hours late because you're a doctor and you're sort of obligated yourself to stop and help people? And you see the guy keeled over the steering wheel and you say to yourself, okay, how many times have I stopped my car and helped people? Do I have to do that today when I'm on my way to my son's wedding? The ambulance will be here soon, but maybe I'm supposed to save a life. And maybe I'm supposed to get my suit bloody and dirty to save a life. But you sign the Hippocratic Oath, you know. You do enter in life into deals where you don't know where they'll take you. That's a part of life. And when we take responsibility for something worthwhile, then we say, fine, the system's right and I'm going to be a part of it. And we do that in life, and you will do that. And when you sign into marriage, you're also signing into something where you have no idea where it'll take you. You have no idea. Okay.
Is that like this magic bliss marriage?
For sure there's a magic bliss marriage, but you know, I have a good friend who's a quadriplegic. Okay? He can talk, and he can move a finger. I don't know if he can move two fingers. Yeah, quadriplegic. He lives not far from here. Correct. So this happened to him when he was younger. I remember as a kid, I remember him playing around and being like everyone else. But you know, there are people who it happens to later on in life. So what are you supposed to do? He signed into marriage. He signed into marriage.
He's not married.
He's not married. He, unfortunately, this happened to him at a young age. It happened to him when he was like 14. But I'm just saying, in life we do sign into things without knowing where they're taking us. Yes, when we believe in something, when it's right, then we do it.
Don't choose your kids either.
Oh, that's also true, right? You go and have a kid, you don't know what he's bringing into your life or taking out of it. ומיד שקבלה זו יקבל על עצמו בלבב שלם ובנפש חפיצה מעלה עליו שכר כאילו קיבל עליו כל המצוות. The second person says, I'm going to do it. Even though I don't know everything now, but when I learn, I'll do it. So I remember the student who came here and said, I started keeping kosher and it was so hard. I stopped eating pork and I only ate lobster. He didn't know. He thought that all fish were kosher. He knew that pork wasn't kosher. So a person accepts upon himself mitzvahs only to find out. You can't eat chicken with milk either. It's rabbinic, but it's prohibited. We just got to finish. We're running late. Rabbeinu Yonah says, if you accept it upon yourself, it's as though you did all them. Whoever's actions exceed their wisdom, his pshat that he's suggesting is, the second you say, I'm ready to do it, it's considered that you've done it, it's as though you've already done it. And he says the truth is that in the Brayse Avot Rabbi Natan, it's actually explicit this way. It says over there, Kol shemasav mubin chochmato chochmato mitkayemet shenemar naase v'nishma. It says the source that it brings for this halacha is because the Jewish people said naase v'nishma. Shekdimu Yisrael asiyah l'shmiya. They said we will do, and then we will hear. Vayadem lomar nishma v'naase. They should have said, let us hear what you're taking us into, and then we'll perform. You can't do until you know what you're supposed to do. So wouldn't it have been logical to say, tell us and then we'll do? Ela, but rather, they were teaching us a lesson. What they were accepting is, Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever you say we're going to do. And then we'll hear and we'll observe. And Hashem right away considered it as though they performed, even though they didn't yet. A person shouldn't say, let me learn this, let me understand it, and when I get it down pat, then I'll start keeping. I want to learn the whole Shas. Then I'll start being observant. So far, I'm going to smoke on Shabbos. I'm going to sit there with my coffee and cigarette as I'm learning tractate Nazir. I'll finish the Shas, then I'll start being observant. No, that's not going to work. But when a person says that, he says, I'll observe only after I know everything, then his knowledge won't last. He's saying here a concept which Chazonish and Ran, everyone expanded on. He says, Torah is not like other wisdoms. Other wisdoms can be conquered even if one's soul is crass. You can be an excellent scientist. Look at Stephen Hawking. Even if a person is crass, look at Plato, a person can still have other knowledge. But Torah is not that way, the opposite of refined. Torah is not that way. In Torah, in order to get it right, one's soul has to be sensitized. One has to refine one's soul. And when one refines one's traits, that allows one to grow more in Torah. And the growth in Torah allows one to refine one's traits. And it's cyclical. But it only works if I'm observing the Torah. If I keep Shabbat, I become a more sensitive person. I become a gentler person. I become a more patient person. If I keep Shabbat correctly. And then I can learn more Torah. And as I learn more Torah, my Shabbat becomes a greater Shabbat. And so on. But Torah is the only type of knowledge that's that way. The more refined you become, the more sensitized you become, the more you can learn Torah. And so if a person says, no, I'll get the whole Torah and then I'll start observing, it won't work. And this perhaps is giving us an insight into another halacha we have, and that is that a ger and a bar mitzvah, when a person enters the yoke of Torah, it is not incumbent upon them to learn all of the Torah before they do. And for many years I wondered about that. Why do we allow a person to do giyur before they learned all of the halacha? There should be this test that tests a person's knowledge. Why does a child become bar mitzvah without knowing all the mitzvot? I remember when I became bar mitzvah, I was so upset. I felt like, I don't know the laws of tefillin. Now I have this mitzvah of putting on tefillin, and I don't know the mitzvah, right? I don't know the laws of Shabbos well. I remember becoming bar mitzvah and feeling like, this isn't fair. I have a responsibility that I don't have the knowledge to live up to. I don't know my stuff well enough. I knew I didn't know. And I always wondered, how come the halacha doesn't say that about a ger? Why doesn't it say, first master the halachot, spend 10 years learning about Judaism, and then you can convert? Wouldn't that be more logical? Rabbeinu Yonah just revealed to us an answer. He says, your knowledge of Torah cannot evolve unless you're performing. Wouldn't work. If a person isn't keeping Shabbat, then his understanding of Shabbat cannot evolve. If your wisdom is going to exceed your actions, then your wisdom will not last. It has to be an applied science. And the application also allows us to develop the science. The Rebbe of Chabad says a different point. He says, you see here that Hashem doesn't expect perfection off the bat, because he allows us to grow. The halacha says a person converts when they have a basic knowledge of much of the concepts. It doesn't say they have to know everything. They have to have a sampling. They know a sampling of the Torah, then they convert. So the Rebbe of Chabad says, you see, now their first Shabbos, they will not keep Shabbos correctly. It's obvious. Because they only learned a certain amount of Nalachot. And Nalacha says that. Says, you teach him a bit of this, a bit of that. And then if he wants to, he understands the idea of what he's getting himself into. He can convert. But he converted and he didn't yet learn the mitzvah of tzitzit. He didn't yet learn that he's not allowed to shave with a razor. He didn't yet learn that the first 3 years of a fruit, you're forbidden to eat it. So he's not going to keep these mitzvot, and it's not his fault. Says Rebbe Chabad, you see, this teaches you that Hashem doesn't expect perfection off the bat. Otherwise, a kid would become bar mitzvah at age 25. After he finished Shas, after he finished Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, no, he becomes bar mitzvah at age 13. What does he know at age 13? Ah, okay. That teaches us the idea of giyur, and bar mitzvah, says Rebbe Chabad, teaches this concept. So to sum up what we learned today, Rabbeinu Yonah says, two pshatim. First pshat is, your actions have to bring you to a point where you yearn more knowledge, where you're involved in more things that cause you to yearn more knowledge. And then he brought his own pshat, where he said, based on Avot Rabbi Natan, that it has to be that your actions, not only what you do, but that you accept upon yourself to perform in accordance with the mitzvot, biblical and rabbinic, and that's called that your actions exceed your wisdom, that you've accepted to perform beyond what you know.